pop out of bed every Wednesday with a hop, a skip, and a hooray. Cause new comics have hit the shelf with so many titles that you can't sell what's good or bad or just okay. Should you buy it now or wait for the trade? The indies you should know about, and where can you find all this out? Well, luckily this podcast has the answers to all that. They call it God Hates Comics, but does it really? Who knows? And if we're being honest, he's outnumbered by the heroes, so I'm pretty sure we got this. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to issue 34?
32.
32, wow.
So way off.
Issue 32 of God Hates Comics. How's it going, guys?
I'm good.
I'm good.
You're good?
Good.
I'm Andrew, as always.
I'm Dusty, and I wrote a shitload of comics this week.
Of course you did. I'm Vince, and I think I read one comic.
Two.
Nice. All right, well, I'll go ahead and go first. I apologize again for our inadvertent hiatus last week. I basically was in Dallas for work, and when I got back, my computer wasn't near set up, so I was basically in no capacity to upload an episode. I have no idea why I thought I could, but I absolutely wasn't. And
I just refer to it as the lost episode.
That works for me, the lost episode. But in the meantime, excuse me a second. No, no sneeze again. Not again.
He told you, like, oh, he's not going to sneeze.
There he is.
What the fuck? It's like you're, like, precognitive of sneezing. It's
pretty
great.
Much. Well, my nose gets that itch, and then, boom, it happens. It's probably going to happen again. But, so in the last 2 weeks, I've been up to a lot. I moved out of my old apartment, got moved into my new one. We were actually recording in my new one.
It's pretty nice. I like it.
It's got a long way to go. So much stuff to unpack, but it's getting there. And but I did manage to read some comics. I read issues 2 to 6 of Mighty Adventures because issue 1 wasn't on Marvel Unlimited for some reason. And that is the Ultron Imperative arc. I'll talk about that in a little bit.
Oh, that's what that is. The Frank Cho and Bendis.
Yeah,
oh,
the one where Ultron turns into
sexy Ultron.
Yeah, I never quite understood that.
Frank Cho was drawing it.
Yeah,
that's all you need to understand.
Yeah, exactly.
I never understood it. I understand it.
There was nothing else that needed.
You why it happened? I just don't understand.
Don't understand. But it was. And then I managed to read my comics. I read Convergent Swamp Thing by Len Wein and Kelly Jones.
I got that. I haven't had a chance to.
It was awesome.
Why? Because like, I've got it sitting in my box waiting for me to read it.
It was really good. Like, I liked it a lot. Like, I've been some of these Convergence issues have really been.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like 2 months of me not having to buy any DC's box.
Yeah, I was wrong.
And then they keep coming out, and I keep looking at them, and I'm like, I'm going to buy this.
Cool.
And I think I've bought almost everything that's come out.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't get Supergirl Matrix.
I haven't bought nearly everything. Yeah. I bought Superman and I bought Swamp Thing.
Honestly,
may go check out Question.
I got the Question.
It's pretty good. I will say that. It's Ruka and Kelly Hammer.
Nice.
So it's actually pretty fucking awesome.
I'm like the bane of like the comic book store because I know I want some of these comics and I know I'm waiting for Comixology to put them on. So that's
you're
what
that
I'm
guy.
Doing. I am.
But yeah, so I read that. I read Captura. Captura.
I haven't had a chance to read that
Captura
one.
Captura 1 by Chip Zdarsky.
So I guess
and,
I read a lot of comics. I didn't get to read any new comics.
But I read that by Chip Zdarsky and Kagan McLeod. Kagan McLeod did one of my favorite graphic novels. It's a book called Infinite Kung Fu, which is really good. So I'm kind of, and he does a lot of illustrations for like The New Yorker and stuff like that. So I kind of see him come back to comics. It wasn't anything like groundbreaking, but it was pretty good. And it definitely sets up some interesting stuff going forward. I read Convergence 3, another kind of, I think, marked step up from the week before. So maybe by the end of Convergence, the issues will be awesome. But I know the art changes. I know Aaron Lopresti is doing some of the later issues. But Carlo Pagulian? Yeah, I'm not sure how to say his name. I apologize. But so yeah, I read a lot of interesting stuff and managed to get all my comics from last week and the comics from the week before. So I've been reading a lot. I've been managing to keep up with the comics. I mean, I pull like only 3-4 a week now. So I'm reading a pretty condensed list that makes a lot more conducive to reading books on time. And but I guess before we go any further, we kind of need to mention Comicpalooza. I don't want to get too far into the show without mentioning that. we are going to be part of Comicpalooza's podcast partnership program. This is a pretty cool opportunity for us, and we're really excited about it. And basically, we'll be working with Comicpalooza going forward. We're going to potentially have some guest announcements. We're going to potentially have some information going forward. We're going to actually record live show briefly on one of the days. I don't know which. Hopefully, we get to interview some guests in the process. That would be really cool as well.
That would be rad.
That would be very awesome. And but the big thing, so before we get any further in the show, I want to mention our contest. I want to mention our contest and our coupon code. Because the coupon code, is a guaranteed savings on some Comicpalooza passes. If you use the code HoustonNerdsUnite2015, that is Houston Nerds and Unite, all spelled the classic way, 2015 at the end, no spaces, that will get you $5 off a 4-day pass or $3 off a 1-day pass. Almost seems worth it to use it just on 4 1-day passes. But I don't think you probably can't do that. It's probably a one-time code. But it is a one-time code. Don't listen to me.
It could be. You wouldn't be able to fucking spend more money buying 4 in the
You're right. Yes. You're right. 4 1-day passes, even with that discount, would still cost more. So, yes, don't do that. It's dumb. And a contest that you can get in on is that we will be giving away a 4-pack of tickets. This is, they are calling this a family pack, but I assume it can apply to just you and 3 of your friends as well. But it is 4 4-day passes to Comicpalooza. And it's a fairly simple contest. It is going to run until next Tuesday, so a week from today, a week from the date we record, 5 days after you hear this. We are posting a lot about it on the Facebook and the Twitter, so keep an eye out for that. But all you have to do is email us at God Hates Comics with the subject Comicpalooza. And then we will randomly select a winner, either using like a raffle kind of website or just drawing names from a hat or something. We'll randomly select a winner from those who pick, and then we will.
I like the hat method. It's very hands-on.
People, you have extraordinarily good chances of winning these tickets.
I mean, really, if you are hearing the show,
holy shit, you have really, really, really good chances of winning these tickets. If you are listening to this show right now,
It's very easy to enter. Like I said, godhatescomics@gmail.com with the subject Comicpalooza. You don't even need to send us your information. If you win, we will contact you and go from there. So by all means, please enter the contest. We are very excited that Comicpalooza is giving us this opportunity.
Yeah.
And later in the show, we're going to be featuring someone who will be at Comicpalooza. We will be featuring Isaiah Broussard, who will talk to us about his Kickstarter. We diverge a little bit and talk about some other stuff. And we try to get him some talk about Comicpalooza itself. It's a show that he's been doing for several years now.
Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate that. And hopefully, next week, we will be featuring Janet Lee, another guest at Comicpalooza. She is very thankfully, through our friend Meredith, gotten in touch with me. And she will be at the show, and she is very thankfully taking the time to record with us. It was going to be this week, but she was at C2E2, so she wasn't... Still recovering from that and getting some deadlines done, so she'll be nice enough to join us next week. And I want to say thanks to Meredith and Janet Lee for setting that up and getting that arranged for us. Yes, definitely going to be more stuff coming from us at Comicpalooza in the future. And this also means that, in a way, we will be at Comicpalooza. We will be recording there one of the days. Once we know some more information about what day.
Do we use their equipment for this?
I'm not sure about that. We'll find out. But if we got to bring ours, if we got to bring my laptop and some stuff like that, we'll make it happen. We'll make it happen one way or another. But it's pretty exciting. So like I said, keep an eye out for more Comicpalooza stuff. Definitely email us about our giveaway. And check out our Facebook. We will have more information about that. And hopefully some more information about the con coming your way. And then I read a bunch of comics. And then I went to Dallas and I moved a whole bunch of stuff. And so outside that... pretty quiet for me. So, Dusty, what have you been up to? Reading your stacks upon stacks?
Exactly. Catching up. I don't know. I tend to buy things, set them down, and let them sit there for a while.
I think we all do.
I've been going through and rereading just everything that's been sitting around at my house. So, caught up on newest Outcast, Invisible Republic. I've probably read 30-something comics within the last few days.
Jesus.
So
he's been keeping busy.
Yeah, and then watching Daredevil for the second time around preparing for this quiz we've got.
Yes, that's another big thing that'll be happening this weekend. We, the technical reigning champions.
Are we still going by Jefferson and Quinto, or are we changing?
I don't know what our name is. You see, Dusty has proposed the team we won last year, but one, I think that makes us sound uber douche.
Yeah.
Which might be the point.
Especially if, God forbid, we lose.
Yeah, if we lose, then we just look like assholes.
Yes.
We look like morons at that point. Jefferson Quinjet, maybe the team won last year.
We're going to fucking lose.
You never know. But we'll be doing that this weekend at Neil's Bar. And so if you think you've got what it takes to beat us, you can try. But let's be real.
You don't. You don't
have it. A mildly different team from last year. We will have Felipe joining us again. And our good friend Steven is going to be pinch hitting for Javier and Chuck, as Chuck unfortunately has to work that day. Damn comic book
bastards.
Stores.
God damn it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Chuck was our ace in the hole, man.
Seriously.
Yeah, they made him work so the Bedrocks team could win. But we've got a rude awakening for them.
I didn't even come in second. I didn't even think they came in like fifth.
Yeah.
Like last year?
Yeah. No, we'll be back for that.
That's why I didn't get the damn job at Bedrock.
Yeah.
They're still sore about the ass beating.
They were, because we stomped them.
Mm-hmm. Sore about the ass beating.
I'm getting a little nervous, guys. You're going to shut up about
that. That even came up in the interview. They were like, how good are you at nerd like pop culture? And then Richard's like, he beat us last year at the Avengers quiz, so I'd say he's pretty good.
Yeah,
right.
Jeez, that's
and what I still did.
So, Vince, what's been going up your way?
I turned 30.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not entirely.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean,
you don't look a day past 27.
27. Yeah, like, I'm not entirely sure, like, how it's different from your 20s. I mean, apart from having more money.
Except then you'll be like me, and then you're like,
yeah. I've got more money. I've got more responsibilities.
Yeah.
I've got less time. And I've got more stuff. So, you know, maybe it's better, maybe it's worse, I don't know. But I guess time will tell. You know, ask me when I'm 40. It's going to be fun.
Right.
If we're still doing this, God forbid, we'll talk about that.
God forbid. I want to do this until we're old and grizzled. We talked about this.
Right?
No.
Make our millions of
no, Vince, no. We will talk about
it. We will talk about it. Yeah, you're right.
Getting all Harrison Wells on you now. We all did watch The Flash. That was pretty awesome.
Yes.
Fuck yeah.
We're getting towards well, the big twist this week. Should we talk about it?
Yeah, let's just fucking.
Let's not spoil
the show. The show isn't there until Thursday, though. It's been 2 days at that point.
Sure.
If you haven't watched it, your own downfall.
Spoiler warning: if you don't want to talk about The Flash, skip ahead 5-10 minutes.
Go. They know Harrison Wells is the guy.
Yeah,
it's all out there now. That's the big kind of twist of the show.
They know. Well, they already kind of knew.
Well, it's a definite. Well, to rephrase, Wells knows they know.
Yeah.
That's kind of the big twist. Wells is not only became aware, Wells always was aware.
Yeah.
So that's the big thing going forward now is that kind of the shadow looming over the next couple episodes of the fact that Wells is flat out, he's out as a Reverse Flash. There's no question now. But some interesting stuff going forward. Anyway.
Well, what I'm interested in knowing is, okay, so Eddie is obviously, you know, he's a good guy, he's a detective, he wants to do the right thing. He knows now that Harrison Wells, the Reverse Flash, whatever his name is a descendant. Yeah, he's a descendant.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, does he try to do something to stop that from happening?
That's going to be, that may become a sticking point for him is the fact that he knows that he may even potentially be kind of he tries to potentially kill himself.
Yeah.
Because he
I don't know. I think it'll be more like Barry will end up stealing Iris from him and he'll be like, well, fuck it. You know?
But
I'm
I mean,
glad
the thing is, Eddie Thawne, as far as we know, Eddie Thawne and Eobard Thawne are not the same person.
They're not.
So, but
as far as we know,
what's he going to do? It's like, oh, the Flash stole my woman. Let me go inseminate all the women. And I mean, dude, that's kind of fucked up.
That is. There was an arc of X-Men where that happened.
Yeah, but I mean, still, it's like, what
was
he going to do?
Really
make sure he has a
kid. I don't know.
You know? Like, I don't know.
But either way, a lot of cool stuff coming on The Flash, and next week is fucking Grodd, man.
Yeah, that's
badass.
Teaser for next week.
That's been fucking amazing.
But
it's
going to
be beyond.
Had, if you read the, when they showed the newspaper clipping,
yeah.
they referred to Arrow as Green Arrow. They made reference to Hawkgirl. They actually brought up the fact that his suit's a different color, a lighter shade of red, and he's got the white around the lightning bolt, which is pretty badass.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like Sisko even says it, if he changed the colors.
Is it because of this or what? So,
I mean,
so yeah, a lot of cool stuff coming up in the Flash, but we got a little bit of a new format.
The fact that they mentioned he's a founding member of.
Oh, before they
come. They don't say anything, but in the, they released a comic panel, like a comic book page,
where they say
showing
Justice
that League. Scene where it says, "Yeah, founding member of the Justice," and then it cuts it off.
Nice.
So,
yeah, we do have a bit of a new format.
Well, we got a bit of a new format. We've gone through our intros, and we're going to try to focus on a couple. Try to focus on more comics, and we're going to try to focus on more opinions.
Yeah, less,
rather than just giving you bullet points.
Less
you can find those out for yourself.
Yeah,
well, we're still going to have news, but we're going to try to offer a lot more of our opinions of certain things.
Well, I mean, the thing is basically we've been pulling from Newsarama and IGN and...
You can do that yourself.
Resources. Yeah, you know.
So, our big thing... well, we have a couple of big things this week. Last week, 2 weeks ago, I guess, we all read Archie versus Predator.
Yes.
That was awesome.
The one true AVP.
True AVP, yes. I watched this AVP as a movie.
Tim Wright.
Based off one issue, I'd watch it. And but yeah, so it's the first part, and I said it to my dad, and he was just like, "Are you serious?" Like, he was like, "Is this a real thing?" And I was like, "It's absolutely a real thing, and it's awesome." It's the first issue. It's very Archie. It's and I think that's the thing I like about it. Much like how Afterlife with Archie is still very Archie, this is still very Archie.
But still, this is even more Archie than Afterlife.
Because it has the art.
Yeah, because it has the art, which is great. But then it's also like the setup is they win. It's spring break. So they just happen to win. It's like, hey, let's fucking take everybody to Cancun. No, it's not Cancun, but it's some Cancun.
Yeah, he's like eating some chips and finds a
thing. Yeah, he finds a thing where he's
when the rich kids are going, "Oh, we're gonna be on our yacht or whatever."
Yeah. And he's like, "Oh, speaking of spring break, look what I just won." Next thing you know, they're in.
I wish all contests had that kind of turnaround.
You know, and they're all having fun, but then they realize, "Oh, hey, you know what? We're not having as much fun as we want. Let's go back and get cheeseburgers." And
that's such an Archie thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. And they all kind of like get together.
They're on the island. Like you look at
I love that like Predator's hiding in the box that they bring on the
planet.
They're like, "Wow, this thing got really heavy all of a sudden." And that's it. That's all they mentioned.
Yeah.
Well, even when they're on the island, it's still this classic Archie stuff. Like Reggie's all about wanting to get with a girl, and Jughead's all about the food, and then Betty and Veronica are still talking over Archie.
Which one thing I enjoy was that even though it had the classic Archie art style, it was still a little more. It was like playfully more adult in tone.
It was a little more
directly. Okay, well, you know, I'm not trying to get with this girl. I'm trying to, you know.
Yeah,
I'm trying to bang this chick, you know. So it was a little more, and plus there was like blood and stuff, which was
really like cartoon-looking blood.
Yeah, it was very cartoony, but still, it's the freaking Predator.
Oh, yeah,
you know.
And so it was definitely a really fun first issue, and I'm gonna be back for issue two.
Absolutely,
yeah,
100%. I mean, pretty much at this point, I don't really think Archie can do anything wrong, and which I guess we're gonna find out because they've got the Archie versus Sharknado book coming out.
They do.
So that's going to be a thing.
It's going to be awesome.
Sad.
I don't know.
You guys are crazy. That's going to be awesome.
I think it's going to be great. I have no problem with it. I might not be as enthusiastic about it as you are, Andrew, but I mean, I think it's going to be an interesting read.
For me, Archie, like their current run of stuff is pretty unstoppable. So,
it almost makes me want to pick up the classic Archie series because they were doing, Life with Archie's over.
Yes.
And I think, are they still doing everything else? Like, Kevin has a book.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Archie is ending before the relaunch, but...
Which, when is that supposed to be happening?
July?
Something
like that. Yeah, because if you didn't already order all the books.
Yeah.
I ordered a couple.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, a lot of interesting stuff with Archie, but Afterlife with Archie, and I think Afterlife with Archie is a limited series, right? I think it's 12 issues.
Afterlife?
Yes,
it is 12 issue series.
So Afterlife is going to unfortunately end, but which is really a damn shame. But but they've just got a whole bunch of really, really great stuff out there. And so when they did Archie versus Predator, like people rag on Archie versus Punisher, but I still think that's one of the greatest crossovers ever.
Well, they made it work. That's the
point.
Yeah.
Like they found a way to somehow plausibly have Punisher run into Archie. And that, to me, I was like, that makes it work. Because you read so many of these stories and it's so ham-fisted. But, like, with that, I was like, this is completely fine. Like, this is absolutely what would happen. And it was. I had no issue with it. It was really great. And then other really cool stuff coming up from Archie, though. I've been very interested in this Mark Waid, Fiona Staples relaunch stuff.
Hell yeah.
It's kind of like an all-star team for Archie.
Mm-hmm.
Although, Aguirre Sacasa and Frank Avila in Afterlife has been pretty awesome.
Yes. Well, the thing is, it's could they have done a regular issue of Archie that was just as good as an Afterlife? Well, I mean, it's something
really the best part to me about Afterlife is how it all started off a variant cover.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the whole thing came out of a variant cover because he hated drawing Joe Quintino's.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best part. It's the best part. Even though Jughead is in the next issue. Kind of. That's a mild spoiler, but not really.
Thanks, Joe.
So the preview pages.
I don't read preview pages.
Get off my nuts.
No.
Anyway, so we did Archie versus Predator, and yeah, awesome. But the big news that broke this week. It may not even be news at this point, depending on who you ask. Or may not even be true, or rather indicative of anything. But David Ayer, the director of Suicide Squad, to his Twitter during C2E2, tweeted a first look at a picture of Jared Leto as the Joker. It has got the white skin. It has got the green hair. It's got a creepy smile. But it is definitely embellished with a lot of tattoos, including some on his face. As well as teeth. Many have said it's a grill on his teeth. I still disagree that it's
it looks like a grill.
Here's where my knowledge of dentistry comes into play.
The problem,
not a grill.
It's not a grill, and that's my point. It's in the technical term of a grill, I guess it technically is, but it's a bridge more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, it is technically a grill because it's...
But it's not a grill in the sense that people are saying.
Yeah, it's a grill because he's wearing it over his teeth. But nonetheless, it's made to look like just a normal full metal bridge, is what it is. It's like,
and I honestly genuinely think it's
not going to be necessarily a bridge so much as like removables, like dentures,
yeah,
stuff like that. It's just full metal bridge form.
Anyway, teeth aside,
Batman's been in this world for a while now, right?
Yes,
like, that's what we're.
So I assume he's the Joker in the face a lot.
Yeah, he's not got a lot of fucking teeth.
So, yeah, and that's
makes, yeah, his teeth make sense to me. It's like, yeah, the guy's constantly getting his fucking teeth knocked out by people.
Look, the teeth, I don't have a problem with.
Yeah, the issue I had is a lot of people kept saying, oh, the grill, I hope it didn't start rapping. I was like, he's not fucking Lil Wayne.
If he started rapping, that'd be great.
Will Smith writes the Joker rap. that'll make sense later. But so the big sticking point for a lot of people became the tattoos. Because he has some on his face, including a very, I will even admit, a little too meta damaged on his forehead.
That's
he's got a little J. He's got a little J on his cheek or something. But then he's got like a clown, like a skull clown on one shoulder, and he's got ha 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 all over one arm, and he's got a smile
on
his bicep over here.
And then ha 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 all over the other side of his chest.
Yeah,
with a bunch of cards.
So it's
he's got his name tattooed in like old English letters going across his stomach.
So it's become a sticking point amongst fans. As those who think that it's the basic swing of it is that I've had people that have no issue with it, which I don't have a huge problem with it. I look at that and I'm still very like, that's the Joker. And that, for me, that's the big thing. I want to be able to look at this
character.
You put
a suit on the guy and,
95% of the problems go away.
The only problem with the tattoos, it's not the... I mean, I don't really think a Joker would get ha 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 twice on his body.
I think it's just him bored and he's doing it himself.
It could be.
I think that's what it is.
I mean, he's got damage written in, like, perfect script across his forehead.
Yeah.
And that's just... That feels too much. That's the thing that I'm like, really...
I feel like they tried too hard to make it feel
I have kind of the opposite opinion, though. If that one little tattoo is all it takes to throw you off, like...
It isn't that for me, though. I mean, it's the cheesiness of it all.
I don't think it's that cheesy.
The gangster skull, like, with the Joker thing, and it's like...
Well, hell, even the smile on his arm, I mean, that's pretty much a mustache on someone's finger, like...
Yeah,
the kids are all getting nowadays. Whenever he holds it across his arm,
it's up here though. It's not.
No, it's on his forehead.
It's right here.
Oh,
literally to make it look like he can go like this and then he'd have this giant smut.
Which, I mean, it's that's interesting in that because, like, a live representation of the Joker is never going to have that big, toothy smile that
they tried their hardest with Jack Nicholson.
But. Yeah, but still. I mean, what I'm saying is that, like, that can be cool if it's done well.
I just really look at it and I don't see what the big deal is, quite honestly. Like, I look at that and I'm like, okay, most of those are going to be covered up by whatever he's wearing. So your only real sticking point becomes the tattoos on his face, and none of them are a deal breaker for me. Now, for you, they are, because you hate face tattoos.
I'm not saying it's a deal breaker, like, oh, I'm never going to fucking watch
you
this
You
could have
fooled me, man.
Right. But I do think it's ridiculous. Like, if you showed me that image without the tattoos, I'd have been like, that's a Joker. If you show me that image without the face tattoos, I'd have been, that's a Joker.
People still would have complained if you didn't have the face
Probably,
tattoos.
Probably, but I'm not people. I'm Vince.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure you still would have said something.
But it's like I said, it's the face tattoos. It's like the bridge too far. It's like that's just
the extra
step.
The thing
it's
for it is
much.
Though, it's that you
for
feel that way about anybody with face tattoos.
True.
It's not like it's the Joker.
It's not the
That's
Joker.
Your opinion of face tattoos in general. And that, I mean, we're all biased, but that's informing your opinion primarily, is that you think those things in general are dumb.
Well, here's the thing. I can't inform my opinion on anything else because there's nothing else to do it.
Yeah,
I can't stop anybody from judging this whole movie at Jared Leto's previous roles.
Yeah.
And say, infer that he's probably going to do an excellent job on the Joker. And I hope he does. You know, and I'm pretty sure him having a face tattoo isn't going to change his performance.
No. My only comment on this one, like, if I'm disgracing anyone, like, dissing anybody with my opinions on him, it'd be the costume designer. That's it. You know, I think the costume designer went with something to make it look like it was edgy. And like
It almost looks like they're appealing to the Hot Topic crowd. It's like, he looks like, I don't know, like an edgy cosplayer version of the Joker.
But the thing to me, and I'll mention this again later on and you'll hear this, I'm like, I heard all this exact same bullshit 7 years ago. Everybody was saying the exact same things about Heath Ledger, about how, oh, they're trying too hard, they're trying to make him so dark, you know, what's with the scars
on
his face?
It's almost the opposite, because with Heath Ledger, a lot of people didn't think he'd be able to act up to the Joker.
Right.
Now with Jared Leto, people absolutely believe he can act as well as a Joker. It's just what he looks like.
Well, no, that's my point.
Well, that
people
just,
had the same issue with how Ledger looked.
Yeah,
that's why.
That's true.
They brought up the same stuff. They're like, "What's with the face scars? Joker doesn't have face scars." They're like, "What's with the smudge makeup? Joker's makeup's not smudge." Like, it was the same stuff where people almost were looking for things to be like, "Look, he's so terrible." And for me, it's just all ringing exactly the same.
You guys remember that prose issue of Batman?
The one Grant Morrison did about the Joker, yeah.
When did that take place in timeline of, like, between Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises? Was that before or after Dark
Knight? That was before Dark Knight.
Okay, because my image...
That was, like, his sixth or seventh issue of Batman after
Dark Knight
Rises.
The image in my head of that Joker was kind of the Joker from Dark Knight. Face tattoos and stuff like that. Or not tattoos, face scars.
Sure.
So I didn't really have a problem. I didn't have a problem with that. I was concerned about Heath Ledger, his acting ability, because, like, what did I know him from? A Knight's Tale and 10 Things I Hate About You.
What's really funny is, like, 7 years ago when this show was coming out, I wasn't really online doing much of anything. Like, yeah, I lived in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Well, it's like when they announced Affleck as Batman, people were very quick to say what they announced about Ledger as Joker.
Yeah.
And my friend kept bringing up, he's like, look, he kept trying to say, the difference is that people knew Ledger could act, and I was like, bullshit,
you know,
man. It was absolutely an assault on his acting ability.
Oh, absolutely.
There was none of this chintzy, oh, well, I knew he's a good actor, but he's not the Joker. No. It was flat out, this guy can't be Joker. And
I mean, like I said, I really like A Knight's Tale.
It's a funny movie, but he's not Joker.
There's nothing about that movie that says, oh, this guy's going to make a badass Joker.
And, you get to the point even more so where you just look at every screen version of Joker and they're all different. And they all kind of, you look at Cesar Romero, and he is absolutely indicative of the clownfish type Joker of the day.
Yeah,
the way he
yeah.
dresses, the way he looks, hanging over his mustache.
And
all that.
Jack Nicholson.
And Jack Nicholson is almost like, but his physical look kind of comes from the Brian Boland kind of Killing Joke type stuff. The large brimmed hats and the suits and everything like that.
But he's also, like, if you take his character, he's a gangster.
Well, yeah, and I actually heard somebody make that comparison. They were like, Nicholson's a gangster, Ledger was an anarchist, and Leto's just going to be the straight-up psychopath.
Yeah.
Like, he's the guy that's going to be just the Joker unhinged in a way that Ledger was. Like, people said that about Ledger, how he was just, like, the psychopathic unhinged. But I'm like, no, not really. Like, he had a very definite plan in everything he was doing. He knew exactly what his plan was. And with Leto not being around Batman, it's like it's kind of, we'll talk about this later with Isaiah, but as he mentions, it's Joker without Batman. So it's curious to see what the difference is.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Well,
and then,
is it Joker without Batman? Because rumor has it that Batman, or at least Ben Affleck's, see,
yeah, the rumor today. Well, that's we're getting into some rumors and speculation.
Well, I mean,
there,
you know,
he's been seen on the set as Bruce Wayne, so it would lead people to believe.
Which it really cracks me up because what does Bruce Wayne look like in comparison to Ben Affleck?
He has gray temples on his hair.
So Ben Affleck doesn't have gray temples.
No.
No, okay, obviously he doesn't, but do they paint that on him really if it's not a dye job?
For the movie, I don't know.
Okay.
He had them at the...
He had them in the trailer.
Yes.
Which, by the way, that came out since we last podcast that we wanted to
talk about. It did. We'll see about that in a minute. We got some other stuff to go through.
It's dark.
It's very dark.
And gritty.
Yeah, dark.
Like, literally dark. Like, I can't see what's going
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
Like, all the shots of Batman, I was like... Is he in there?
Wait.
Like, there's that one where he's standing at, like, Arkham Asylum.
Yeah,
there's
one like, adjust the fucking brightness on my phone as I'm watching it. You know?
But yeah. Anyway, so Joker tattoos, it didn't stop the internet from exploding, but for my money, we'll see. And there's even rumors now that he may not even have them.
Yeah, because...
Somebody saw a shitty photo of him on set and he didn't have
production
one.
Photos where he doesn't have the tattoos.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know. Like, the photos I've seen of him, I don't think they're actually, like, shooting photos, so...
Well, I mean, there's one, like, he's wearing a fucking sun hat. It's like...
He's bombing around on his day off.
There. Yeah.
That's not...
Yeah. It kind of... What ruined it for me was that, like, they had released these pictures beforehand, or, like, they released a picture of him holding up the camera, and it was like, holy shit, like... That's fucking amazing.
Yeah,
that's fucking
cool.
Perfect. Like, that looks really
fucking
cool.
Potato photo. How did you guys even see what was in it?
It was a potato photo, but it was still, it was a Joker with a camera. I mean, you can definitely see.
Oh, you mean that one? That wasn't a full Joker photo, though. That was just him with the hair with a camera. He didn't have makeup or anything.
And yeah, what you're talking about.
I'm like, talking about, like, he showed a picture of somebody on the street, and, like, somebody took a picture of that.
It was like a picture... Of a
it was a
monitor
yeah.
that had his picture on it.
Yeah.
So, like, double potato, I guess.
Yeah, it was really strange. So we'll see. But anyway, let's move on to some other stuff here.
Yeah.
We also have the big Iceman news.
It's not really news. I just brought it up because I read the comic and I thought it was interesting. Basically, what happens is throughout... Bendis' run on All New X-Men, which has been the entire series.
Yeah.
And it's something you don't really think about until this issue because of the War of What Happens. Bobby Drake, Iceman from the past,
mm-hmm.
is very like, oh man, she's so hot. Look how hot she is. Like, he's very like
makes a point of
telling people or showing people or letting people know that he's attracted to women. And look how hot she is. Oh, man, she is so, you know, blah, blah, blah. So he does something where he references magic, which made me think, I mean, do they just, like, walk around? It's kind of funny that, like, in superhero comics, superheroes just walk around in their fucking costume, like, all day.
Yeah.
Like, magic's wearing, like, fucking, like, shoes and a shirt pretty much. You know, like, all her midriff is showing and everything. And he's just like, oh, I'm going to go buy burgers in my superhero outfit. Which, you know, is something completely different. But
yeah.
Anyway, he makes a reference to how hot she is. And Jean is like, Bobby, why do you do that? Why are you doing this? And he's like, oh, because she's hot. And, you know, it basically leads to, look, I can read your mind.
That was a sticking point for a lot of people.
Yeah, which that kind of sucks.
Because what ends up happening is that after that, she reads his mind and basically is like, oh, you're gay. And he was like,
well, it's not like, oh, you're gay. It's more like, Bobby, why are you doing this? And he's like, what are you talking about? And she goes, well, you're gay. Like, it's not like, oh, you're, it's not like she's realizing it. She
oh, no, 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 I meant like, it's more of like a, just a, you're gay, like, sort of thing. So, like,
yeah.
A lot of people had a sticking point with the fact that she read his mind and basically told him,
you're
was
gay.
Telling him that he's this. Not, and then giving no room for anything else. Like, just straight
well,
up, you're gay, deal with it.
The way,
and see,
the way
is
I read
honestly why I kind of didn't want to talk about this, because there's no real right answer for this.
Well, I don't think it's a matter of right or wrong. I think that, like, I read it differently. What
yeah.
I read it was Jean Grey happens to be a telepath.
Yeah.
So she can read your mind. So what she's doing is saying, hey, man, you don't have to do this. You're gay. Like, you can just be gay.
Yeah.
Like, she even says, like, in this, like, now, it's not that, like, I don't think it's that big deal. It's like, we've got, you know, even if it's you're worried about people being ostracized or ostracizing you, it's like, we've got so much other stuff to worry about. You being gay is not on anyone's radar. Like,
yeah.
You can be gay. You
no,
can
and
be
I get that,
want.
But I'm not talking about, I'm talking about
or who you, not who you want.
People
who you are.
Were getting really pissed off that Gene called him out without letting him come out on his own terms.
Yeah.
So on and so forth. And the way that she did it was really kind of rude and abrupt and so on and so forth. But there's no real right way to bring that up with someone when they're to like help them come out. Or anything like that, and that's where it gets really touchy for a lot of people, because a lot of people feel very vehemently that her actions are terrible, you know, and that she shouldn't have done it and stuff like that. Or on the other hand,
I think it's,
the other thing I think that's
you know,
getting lost
yeah.
in the shuffle here is that these are teenagers.
Yeah,
true.
Like people are acting like this is the Cyclops of 40 years, the Iceman of 40, and it's really not. These are kids that probably don't even really understand. That what's happening really. I mean, these are kids that were kids when they were taken from the past and
yeah.
are still in the future and they're still adapting to what they're doing. And I think that the fact that they're kids ends up getting lost.
Well, what
like,
I
like they're seeing them as the you know they're still seeing them kind of as you know these are the X-Men of you know Age of Apocalypse and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they're not. These are formative years X-Men.
Yeah.
Well, what I actually think is interesting, and I really don't see this getting touched upon, especially with Secret Wars kicking up and, you know, everything, basically, things are ending, things are getting rebooted,
mm-hmm.
blah, blah, blah. I'm not sure if they're ever going to touch back on this.
They may not.
You
oh,
know?
No. Bendis has said that this is part of a bigger story.
Okay. So, they, there
so
might be
I think that Bendis is not done with this.
Because I actually think it's really interesting because Bobby even brings it up. Like, I don't get it. He's like, I don't get it. I'm gay. Like, I know I'm gay. But there's future me who should be the same me. But he's not gay.
But it's bringing up the idea that
maybe
the past X-Men are not necessarily the past of the current X-Men.
Or it could be that... I mean, it could be that, or it could be that current
yeah,
X-Men
they couldn't be in the first place.
You know.
I mean, just when you're really thinking about that. If you're
really
the moment they had come into the future, everything would have fucking changed.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you know, so they can't be this
so.
Timelines. And that's kind of a proven thing with the X-Men. It's like every time you go back to the past, you're not changing your timeline. You're creating an alternate timeline. Which was still
like Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
which,
so.
I just think, I thought it was interesting, and
I got that right.
Like you said, nice. You know, contrary to what some people are saying on the internet, I like the way it was handled.
I think
you know.
For me, the big thing is that they're kids. And it's not like these are malicious adults doing these things. It's kids that don't understand.
Well,
yeah.
It's like I said, Jean Grey isn't doing it to be like, oh, you're gay. It's more like, hey, man, it's
please
clear.
Be yourself. Yeah.
Be yourself.
Well,
you don't have to be. Don't
the
have to lie.
Sticking point for people, I guess, is that like, well, that should have been a decision for him to make.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jean Grey shouldn't be coming to him and saying you're this. And then kind of just
and
boxing
then he's like,
it.
Well, maybe I'm bi. No, you're not bi. You're just gay.
And that was a big
yeah,
scene
yeah.
point for you where they're like, well, how does she fucking know? Whatever. There's a lot of discussion over this. And like Sabenda says, he's not done with it yet. So
yeah.
We'll see what he does.
And what I mean, what's it's like? It happens in the middle of the comic. There's stuff that happens before. There's stuff that happens after. And none of it has anything to do with the fact that he's gay. So
yeah.
It's just. Part of the story,
and that's
you know,
what it needs
like,
to be.
It's not like
and there was no press release. There was no,
yeah.
There was no big hoopla or anything. So, we'll see. Let's skip over the Fantastic Four trailer. Yeah, we can talk about that later. And the Bloodshot and Harbinger movies, they simply exist. Let's talk about the Eisners for a minute. So there was some big stuff at C2E2 this week. Just kind of your kind of bullet points there.
Wait, hold on. Are these Eisner winners? Or are these Eisner
nominees?
Fucking no one else winners. That's too much to fucking go over.
We're not going to go
through everything. What I did was just pick the ones that we're going to be familiar with.
So amongst the Eisner nominations, I mean, Multiversity Pax Americana, naturally got into line. That was the Morrison Quietly Multiversity issue, which was awesome, and you guys probably didn't read. That doesn't help me now. As far as best continuing series, Hawkeye, I'm assuming the Fraction Ajo one.
Yes.
All five issues that came out last year. It's funny because Fraction and Ajo got nominated for it, but Katie Wu, who drew more issues than Ajo did, didn't get nominated.
Damn.
So a lot of people have some issues with that, which I agree with. If she drew more issues than he did last year, then she deserves to at least be in the nominations. We have Multiversity Private Eye. Multiversity and Private Eye are best limited series. Private Eye, I really need to read. That's the.
I've read like Marco Smartin six or seven issues.
I wish they'd put out a collection of it or something.
I got to download it. It was all digital.
Yeah, I know. As far as the best new series, we got Fade Out, more Ed Brubaker and all them.
Goddamn right.
Superior Foes of Spider-Man for best humor publication.
That was a surprise for me because, one, it's under humor publication. Two, I mean, it's Superior Foes, which is a fantastic book.
I didn't think anybody was noticing. As far as best writers, we got Jason Aaron, Kelly Sue, Grant Morrison, Brian K. Vaughan, G. Willow Wilson, and Gene Lung Yang, who's taking over Superman. For best writer, I assume that was for Boxers and Saints.
It was actually for Avatar The Last Airbender.
Oh, Stan Sakai, best writer artist, also the nicest man in Nicetown. For best artist, we've got Adrian Alfona from Miss Marvel, Mike Allred, Frank Quietly for his.
Yeah, I was thinking, what did he draw last week?
It was Multiversity, and it was Jupiter's Legacy.
Someone like the two Jupiter's issues Circle. That came out.
Yeah. Fiona Staples from Saga, and Bab Starr from Batgirl.
Which I really love her art.
I do. I'm a little surprised she got nominated this season, but hey, if it's good, it's good.
It's good.
And then for Best Cover Artist, we've got a Murderer's Row of Darwin Cook, Mike Del Mundo, Francisco Francavilla, Jamie McKelvey, Matthew Wilson, Phil Noto, and Alex Ross, so...
Which are all phenomenal. Like, honestly, if any of them win, it's worth it.
Amazing. As far as here's some just little tidbits. We're not going to spend any time on them, but they're worth mentioning, I guess. Captain America White, actually, I do want to mention this one briefly. This was originally solicited in 2008. So that is 7 years ago.
Wow.
It was to be the next installment of the Color series that Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale do, which was... Hulk Gray, Daredevil Yellow, Spider-Man Blue. I think that was it, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't think there were any others. So Captain America White was supposed to be the next one, and a lot of people were actually hoping to be a return to form for Jeff Loeb after his less-than-stellar run.
The funny thing is that the image they had on the article I read still had the Marvel Knights a little longer. Like,
wow.
You know, so
probably an old one.
I'm assuming they just didn't update that.
But it's going to be coming out, finally, after being talked about for literally years, and it will drop in September, so it's even still pretty far off.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be leading up
into Civil War. Well, if it comes out in September, October, November, December, January, February, if it's six issues, it'll stop in February, and that's 2 months before.
Well, they might re-release the Zero issue.
They might. Waste more of my time. Drax is getting his own title, co-written by CM Punk, and that's literally all we know. We don't know who the other co-writer is. We don't know who the artist is. But the cover seems to indicate that his fighting wrestling experience may play a factor. Another one I'm excited about.
Did you read the Thor annual with CM Punk?
That
was a good story.
The one I'm excited about, Guyman and Buckingham's Miracle Man, finally. We'll have to wait until what? September?
Yes. September.
Damn it.
Re-releasing.
They'll do the previous stuff and then continue with the new stuff. Just like I did with Moore. They'll reprint the existing issues and then move on to another stuff. And then we've got another anthology coming out of Secret Wars, Secret Love. It's a romance book.
I'm a little
curious about this.
Stoked on this book.
The timing is a little interesting to me considering there was just a successful Kickstarter for a romance comic series that got, like, you know, 300% funding.
Well, I mean,
I don't think it's a coincidence.
No. If the comic book industry is anything like the movie industry, like video games,
everybody steals
else,
everything.
You know, they see something.
You mean like how DC doing a thing where all the different universes fight each other, and Marvel doing a thing where all the different universes fight each other?
Oh, yeah.
At the exact same time? No,
well,
no, they
I
don't
mean,
follow each other at all.
Remember a few, like, several years ago when
Batman died?
Bucky, no, I was going to say
stuck
when
in time, and
no,
Captain America died,
and
he got stuck in time.
Well, I was actually going to say when Bucky...
Or maybe when Batman got stuck in time, and his sidekick stood up and took his title, and when Captain America got stuck in time, and his former sidekick stood up and took his title. basically, Grant Morrison and Ed Brubaker were telling the exact same story concurrently.
Yes. And they both got shot with time bullets.
Yeah. They literally both got shot with time bullets. Yeah.
Although that was made clear from the moment Batman got shot. It's
yeah, that was like...
Because Captain America was only supposed to be dead for 3 issues.
Six issues.
And then he was supposed to come back.
Yeah.
Well, it's the
but
same thing with the Babs Tarr or Cameron Stewart.
Yeah, that was apparently just supposed to be like a filler to get them to Convergence.
And they're like, holy shit, it's popular.
People like it. Yes. Oh, crap. So that pretty much takes care of our news for this week. To sum up, buy Archie vs. Predator.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're really missing out. When we come back, we are going to talk about... We actually are going to take a break. We're going to come back with Isaiah Broussard. We're going to talk about his book. And then we're going to talk about his Kickstarter, rather. And then we're going to talk about some other great stuff, too. And when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about Ultron. Did I talk about Ultron and Paranormal already?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you touched on it.
I'll talk about that a little bit more in depth. And then we're going to actually talk a little bit about Secret Wars. And what we're hoping to get from it. And then we'll dovetail in with our picks of the week at the end, which also we're going to see a few changes.
Yes.
So we'll be back with Isaiah Broussard now.
Comicpalooza 2015 is almost here. You'll see your favorite celebrities, comic book creators, and authors. Hear super cool musical acts. Experience crazed cosplay events, rowdy professional wrestlers, raucous roller derby girls, literally thousands of hours of programming, and so much more. Remember, Comicpalooza at the George R. Brown Convention Center in Houston, Texas, Memorial Day weekend, May 22nd to 25th. Get your passes today. Head over to www.comicpalooza.com for all the details.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to God Hates Comics. We are very fortunate here to have Isaiah Broussard joining us once again. He's becoming a fan favorite here on the show. And I'm glad you're taking the time to join us again.
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you taking the time. And primarily here, we had you on a couple of weeks ago with David Furr for the Help Wanted Kickstarter, but you have another Kickstarter going on right now.
That's right. I'm currently funding Transletown Volume 2. You guys have probably been on the show marketing Transletown before. It's a story about Timmy Tepes. He's this young, awkward vampire boy and his best friend, Alicia, who's this really plucky slayer. And they go on fantastic adventures where they meet all kinds of wild and wacky monsters that are sometimes scary and sometimes fun.
It's a pretty wholesome book, honestly. That's what I like about it.
It's a lot of fun.
Because you see, with a lot of that subject matter, people would purposely stray towards the... What's the nice way to put it?
I don't know. Sparkles?
Yes. Sparkles, but like overly violent type stuff where it's like not...
So not sparkles.
Not like, sparkles. I wasn't going for
sparkles.
That at all.
No.
but I was part of Volume 1 and I'm going to get in on Volume 2 as well. But yeah, it's definitely a great book and I quite enjoy reading. Because it's tough for me to read webcomics. I don't know why. But when I have...
No, I understand, man. It's hard for me to keep up with webcomics too. It's just a matter, you know, not everybody is the type of person who's going to wake up every morning or goof off at work every day to read a couple of comics. And that's why it's always good to get these things in book form.
Well, yeah. I agree. Yeah, sure. I absolutely. And for me, I've just started kind of stepping out into digital. Just finally started kind of sticking my feet in the water because I don't have enough space for all the stuff I have.
Yeah.
because that's what happens. But with print stuff, I really kind of feel like I'm a little bit able to get a lot more invested in the story. Like, I feel like I'm, because you're holding it, you got the pages in your hands, there's something about that feel that makes me feel like I'm involved a lot more intensely.
You know, that kind of makes sense because, like, if there's one bad thing about digital, is that you can't see the stack of comics on your nightstand.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's your iPad, it's your computer, it's your Kindle, it's whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
when I've got,
I've got 50 books on my iPad, oh, who cares? Whatever, I'll get to it eventually. When I've got 50 books on my nightstand, that shit's about to fall over. Like, I gotta do something about
it. Yeah, you gotta read it or, you know, back it up.
You gotta read it or lose it. Yeah.
Right?
That's a predicament I'm in right now. I've got all these books I haven't read, and they're actually stacked around in my studio. And so I occasionally just have to move them out of the way, like, I'm going to read you eventually, but I got to go draw something first.
And that honestly was my life for many years, was just stacks and stacks of comics everywhere.
Out of the way.
Just everywhere. I mean, you guys saw my old apartment. Yeah. They were everywhere. Yeah. There was comics in my bedroom. There were comics in my living room. There were comics in my kitchen. There were comics everywhere.
Were there comics in your bathroom? I didn't notice.
I don't think so, because, you know, you get the steam and the heat. Really, that's just bad for them.
Yeah, that's bad for them.
Yeah, I fucked up many a comic.
Thanks, Shakespeare. but for something especially like this, especially because you do the book kind of in these overall arcs, don't you?
Yeah.
So when you have like a big completed arc, that's why I like the omnibuses so much, because it was the whole thing in one big sitting, and I just read the whole thing. Yeah. So with this, having the big arcs in each volume just makes it a lot easier. If you get involved, you get it done. It pulls me in a lot faster.
Yeah. Let's talk exactly about the Kickstarter. You've got a lot of different types of rewards, you know, for people that can afford different amounts, you know, just from a dollar and being put on the website, you know, all the way up to, well, I'm not sure what your most expensive one is, but you've got original art available, I presume?
Yeah. The Transitown comic is done digitally, but what I decided to do for this project is make some new exclusive posters for it of some artwork that I've done, of just some Transitown illustrations, and I decided I can print those out, color those with some markers, and make those some really cool rewards, and also make them posters for people.
Nice.
Posters are cool. I like posters.
Yes,
we can tell.
Yeah, there was a lot of posters in my move, man. Yeah. Shut up. I know, I had to bring them up the stairs.
Dude, that sucked. That must have sucked. Jeez.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
But yeah, so the Kickstarter's definitely coming forward. You got what? We're on Tuesday here. I think you have 8 more days?
8 days.
Yeah, 8 days left.
8 days left. So by the time this airs on Thursday, there will be 6 days left. So there's plenty of time to still get in for this. You can get print copies of the second volume. You can get print copies of the first volume as well, right?
Right.
So there's definitely the option. And then you actually have, like, digital versions of the collections as well, right?
Correct.
So whatever, pick your poison, it's all there. If you haven't gotten in before, you can get caught up now with both volumes. If you just want volume 2, you've got it. And you can go digitally, which may be a strange choice, but if that's your path, awesome.
Paying to get something you can already get online. Yeah, why not?
I've done it before, man.
Some people like that format. You know, I'm not going to stop them.
It's like Order of the Stick. I did that. I bought some volumes of Order of the Stick, and that whole thing is online. You can just start and hit next for like 7 years, and you get to the final end point.
That's the problem. Next for 7 years. That's a long time.
Hey, man, if you've got that much content, because Transletown's been going a good amount of time now, hasn't it?
Yeah, since 2010.
Man,
nice.
The comic's about to turn 5.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's going to have to go to school soon. Oh, school?
Yeah, not quite.
I don't know what the ages are.
Yeah, it is. It's like in pre-K.
Yeah, pre-K. Yeah, 5. Yeah.
It's in pre-K.
My nephew's 6 now. So, yeah, he's in school. So, yeah, 5 is school.
Your comic is in school at this point. I'm glad we settled that. That was going to bug me all night. But,
volume 5. I'm in school now.
That's funny, because in episode 5 of Transletown is when Timmy starts to go to public school, so nice. There we go.
I hope he has better time with that than the rest of us do. So up at this point, this is the second arc of Transletown being collected. What arc are you on right now, the one that's currently coming out?
Well, this collection actually features 2 arcs. Volumes 1 and 2 each have 2 arcs in them. So I'm currently on the website updating it with the 5th arc.
The 5th arc. So at this point, the 2 volumes will get you caught up to the current arc that's ongoing.
Right.
That's pretty awesome.
Nice.
So you can even use it to get caught up, so you're up to date. There's absolutely no reason not to do this, exactly. As far as I can tell.
That's pretty good.
That's a pretty good deal.
Unless you're an idiot.
That's possible.
You know. So, I mean, hey,
if that's,
an idiot, don't back it.
If that's John, your, if that's if the you path are. You've chosen in life, then that's their issue.
I'm not there to judge.
Yes, we are.
Okay, yes.
I've been listening to you guys talk about the Joker all weekend. You are absolutely here to judge. All
right, hey, I got a question for you. Have you seen the image of Jared Leto as a Joker?
Yes, I have.
What are your thoughts?
My initial impressions right now are hopeful. I think it shows that they're going to be taking a very different take on the Joker than we're used to seeing in the Batman movies. And that's something I'm actually pretty excited about. You know, I know some people are upset that it doesn't look very much like the traditional Joker, but, you know, this isn't Batman. So I don't necessarily want the same character that I get in Batman, because Joker in Suicide Squad won't have the same meaning that he does in Batman. So I'm very hopeful, and I'm excited to see how it's going to turn out.
Cool. I appreciate your very optimistic take on that, because that's not what I've been hearing all weekend from these guys.
It's cautious pessimism. Cautious pessimism.
Bullshit. I've been listening to you guys this weekend. If there's anything cautious about what you guys are saying, you guys don't understand what that word means.
I have faith in Leto's ability to do the Joker justice.
Oh, we're going to do this now.
Just don't care for the tattoos.
All right.
I really thought society was past tattoos at this point. I'm glad you guys are proving me wrong on that.
Goddamn right.
Look, man, all I'm saying is that if you're getting a tattoo on your face, you know what you're doing. Regardless of if your skin is pasty white or not.
He's not fucking real!
That's my main point about it, is that, like, they just did it for, like, a publicity thing. You know, that's really all it is.
We don't even know. Like, okay, let me rephrase that. That image was definitely released to generate buzz about this movie. And yes. In that regard, it worked masterfully. Because, like I said, you guys still won't shut up about it. Excuse me. Yeah, because you guys wouldn't let go. And we're going to bring it up anyway, so yes, don't get are. The fuck out of here, man. Don't bring that shit up here. You stepped to me? But no, it's an interesting thing, because I've been saying this to people, but it really does just remind me fully of exactly what happened in 2008. This was the exact same stuff. People were saying the exact same things. Like, when Ledger was cast, everybody was like, oh my god, this is the stupidest thing ever. And then, like, when we saw that first picture, people still, they were like, what's with the scars on his face? Joker doesn't have scars on his face. What's with the smudgy makeup? Everybody was saying, that's not how the Joker is supposed to be.
And now, seems to be the mantra of comic book fans every time a costume is revealed, and every time a casting is revealed, is that this isn't the character, and this isn't what was in my head.
The best part to me is that the only costume I've seen recently that hasn't gotten a massive amount of backlash is Ben Affleck's Batman costume.
Yeah. Everybody pretty much went, yeah, all right.
Because they were like, oh, it's Batman.
But you know why? Because, hey, it looks like Batman.
And Leto looks exactly like...
I think it looks too much directly like the Dark Knight Batman costume.
I'm kind of ready for a Batman that looks like he's off the comics page.
Yeah.
Because, like, all the Batman movies to date have gone with some weird kind of version
armor
of
armor plating.
Like,
or
the black rubber from the early ones, or the armor plating, or Nolan's kind of tactical, real, quote-unquote, Batman suit. So to kind of see them finally be like, all right, we get that this isn't... There's nothing realistic about Batman.
Yeah.
To see them finally just be like, this is Batman. Okay, here we go.
You know, I just kind of feel the costume designer was uninspired and was like, you know, I'm just going to go with what's on this page here. Here you go.
How is that uninspired, though? Like, that's exactly what they did with Iron Man in the movies.
It's true. Yeah.
No way, it looks different.
No, you read Extremist by Warren Ellis and Eddie Granoff. That is Iron Man from the movies.
Okay, yeah, no, you make a point there. That is very much the first movie costume.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the same guy that designed it. Granoff designed it for the
movies. Oh, yeah, essentially.
Yeah, designed it for the movies.
Well, like, for me, we still haven't really seen a good shot of a lot of these costumes in action, and Leto especially. With Leto, we have no idea what Leto's going to
do. This is just a joke, but we never really will. Because the movies will be so goddamn dark that we'll see them, but we'll never actually see a really good shot of them.
They'll be so dark.
Where are we going to get a shot of Will Smith, man? That's what I want to see.
Yeah, I'm kind of.
And that's my thing. I was thinking about this the other day. Like, we're making so much fuss about the Joker, who might be in the movie for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
This movie's got fucking Killer Croc in it. Like, where are the pictures of Killer Croc and King Shark?
They're in post being done for the next 6 months.
Yeah, so. You're never going to see a picture of King Shark, because who the fuck is King Shark?
He's King motherfucking Shark is who he is.
In the movie, he's King Shark, but to average Joe guy watching the movie on TV or whatever...
Because the honest truth is that Suicide Squad is being sold by Leto. Like, those are the stars of that movie. So I am interested in how they're going to do Deadshot, though, because you can't think they're going to cover up Smith's face. Like, you've got Will Smith. You're not going to put him in Deadshot's actual mask the whole time. So... Then again, I didn't think they'd put Reynolds in the Deadpool mask all movie, but it certainly seems like that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Tell
him.
Yeah.
Either way.
You know, as long as I get a Will Smith Deadpool rap, I'm down.
Deadpool rap.
What happened to the days when Will Smith made a rap for every movie, man?
Very true, man.
Yeah. I missed the rap for Men in Black 3. Where was it? It wasn't there.
He was too busy making After Earth or whatever the fuck.
Fuck. Why couldn't he have done a rap song for After Earth? That would have made it so much better.
He was still writing his song for 7 pounds.
Goddamn. Oh, now we're just bringing up painful memories here, guys. Anyway, let's try to veer back on course here as we dovetail out of this so you can head on to your multitude of other engagements this evening. Although I do like that we still managed to work in Suicide Squad and the Joker, because that's what we do. So Comicpalooza, you are going to be there, correct?
Yeah, definitely.
And you've actually been doing Comicpalooza for several years now.
Yeah. Wow, I want to say I've been doing it since 2012, maybe?
2012, so this will be year 4?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. You've been there more often than I have, I think.
Yeah, it's my favorite show to do, man.
Is it? So offering your opinion on the show, how would you describe it?
I have a blast every year. I'm usually involved with doing panels at Comicpalooza now, and then at my day job at Texas Art Supply, we do things for Comicpalooza as well to help promote it. And we're even doing a pre-show after Free Comic Book Day at the Texas Art Supply on Montrose. It's going to be like a live art show, so it's going to be kind of in conjunction with the live art auction that's going to be going on at Comicpalooza. So, you know, I always get really involved with doing panels, doing demonstrations, doing pre-show stuff. And it's always a blast for me because even during the convention, I end up being very busy. And I get to meet lots of people. So it's always the most fun show for me.
And it is. I usually even years when like the comic guest, like the superstar comic list, I guess, has always been kind of lacking. I always manage to go to this show, and I never have a problem spending money. I never have a problem having a good time. I never have a problem finding stuff. It's a show that really does have a little of everything, which works out pretty well.
What's good is that obviously you kind of want to see big names and stuff like that, but when they don't have those huge superstar artists and writers and
stuff
like that.
You get to see what else is there.
Yeah, you get to see everyone else, and you get to spend more time just kind of walking around and seeing what else the comic
has. Yeah, and the people there seem really, really enthusiastic about seeing other things. You know, I go to a lot of cons, and a lot of times you just can't get people to look at your table unless you have some well-recognized superhero print there. But at Comicpalooza, a lot of people are really excited to look at my own work, to look at my personal art. They're always really excited to sit down and talk, to get commissions. I get to do a lot of really fun things for people at that show.
So I remember last year, there was the guy that was doing the Martian. He was doing Martian Manhunter villains. And contributed to a big jam. And it was all – this guy literally had like a Silver Age Martian Man, one of those Showcase Presents Martian Manhunters. And he was just going through and getting artists to draw all the different villains. And I was like, that's a level of dedication that I almost have to commend simply because I never believed there was a big enough Martian Manhunter fan to do that. But this guy proved me wrong. And so we will definitely plug your Kickstarter and your website and your Patreon, because you're on Patreon as well, right?
Yes, I am.
I believe we went over that last time, but I'm bringing it up again. we'll – excuse me a second. No? I thought I was going to sneeze. It didn't happen. sorry. But we'll plug your Patreon. We'll plug the Kickstarter. It's Transletown Volume 2. Like I said, this.
And what's your Patreon? Patreon.com/.
There
it is.
Listen.
Say that one more time.
iBroussardArt.
iBroussardArt. Patreon.com/iBroussardArt. We'll include a link in the doobly doo below the show. So by all means, please check that out. And yeah, we want to thank Isaiah Broussard for joining us, and we'll see you at Comic Palooza.
Thanks for having me. I'll see you guys there.
I'm really glad you stopped using the pin name, because I remember whenever I first met you, like, I knew your name was Isaiah, but the work was all signed Bruce Small, and you were, like, standing, I guess, by the prints and stuff, and I was like, I really like this guy's work, and you're like, thanks, and I was like, okay.
I remember it was like last year I got ambushed by a couple of friends and they were all like, we think you should change your name to your real name. I was like, oh, okay.
I think I remember hearing about that come to Jesus speech that happened. We really need to talk to you about changing your name back to what it is.
It ended a lot of confusion for me.
For you, yes. I had no problem being like, oh, that's Isaiah and he has a pen name. That was not a hard delineation for me to make. I didn't see an issue with it, but apparently Dusty did. So yes, thank you. So thank you from Dusty for being Isaiah, because yes. Bruce was freaking him out. I don't even know why, but it was. But yes, I do want to say thank you again, and yes, we will see you at Comic Palooza.
Cool. See you guys there.
All right. Thanks again. Thanks. Have a good one.
Thank you. Peace.
What are you doing on Memorial Day weekend? Well, forget that, because Comic Palooza 2015 is almost here. At Comic Palooza, you'll see your favorite celebrities, comic book creators, and authors. Hear super cool musical acts. Experience crazed cosplay events, rowdy professional wrestlers, raucous roller derby girls, literally thousands of hours of programming, and so much more. Celebrity guests appearing at Comic Palooza this year include Jeremy Renner, that's right, Hawkeye from the Avengers, stars of the hit Fox series Gotham, Star Trek's George Takei, oh my, the Fonz himself, Henry Winkler, ayy, comic book superstar Stan the Man Lee, and of course me, Kyle Hebert, that anime and video game voice actor guy. Follow Comic Palooza on social media, on Twitter at Comic Palooza, Instagram at Houston Comic Palooza, and like us on Facebook to keep up with amazing guest announcements as they happen. Remember, Comic Palooza at the George R. Brown Convention Center in Houston, Texas, Memorial Day weekend, May 22nd to 25th. Get your passes today. Head over to www.comicpalooza.com for all the details.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to God Hates Comics. I hope you enjoyed our interview with Isaiah Broussard. Don't forget to check him out at Comic Palooza. But I'm going to talk a little bit about some comics right now, since that's what Dusty wants us to do more often. But I read in my run-up to Age of Ultron, which will come out the night this show airs, I read Ultron Imperative, which is the first arc of Brian Bendis Frank Cho's Mighty Avengers. Yeah. And it features, naturally, Ultron.
Sexy Ultron.
Yes, because it's Frank Cho. So the setup for this is that the Mighty Avengers are the government-sanctioned Avengers team. So it's Tony Stark kind of putting together
This is after Civil War.
Yeah,
he's
putting out a Civil War.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of his Avengers facsimile team. He's got, like, Ares in place of Thor. And he's got, like, Miss Marvel and Sentry and Black Widow is there.
Is Wonder Man there?
Wonder Man is as well, yes. So it's an interesting eclectic
Ant-Man
team.
Ant-Man, I think, too, right?
Not directly. Wasp is there, though. And so in the first issue, there's these weird weather patterns all over the country. Somebody's controlling the weather, they're not sure how. And then at the end of the issue, Iron Man's systems, like, overload, and they crush around him, and he turns into this female naked Ultron. Who's conveniently got smoke wisps in all the right spots. And then later on, he's got, like, weird metal stuff over it. And it's, I mean, it was done that way, I assume, because it's Frank Cho. But they don't realize it's Ultron, which is the interesting part. Like, the entire second issue is them, like, what happened to Tony? And then the third issue is, like, oh, shit, it's Ultron. Fuck. And so it kind of devolves from there. And Sentry kind of plays a big part because they're still playing with that whole, is the Sentry in control? Is the Sentry somebody else? It's the Void, all that. Yeah. This is before he rips. This is after he rips Carnage in half.
After Carnage, but like before. Well, yeah, definitely before Siege.
Yeah, definitely. But so it's an interesting thing, and it's seen by a lot of people as one of the better Ultron stories out there. And I mean, I guess it's one of the better ones. I really want to go back and read the Roy Thomas original Ultron stuff, but as an arc, I was kind of bored with it after a while, because it suffers from a lot of Bendis kind of things. Like, it's very talky.
Decompression,
like this issue. Like, you look at Ultron Unlimited, that's four issues, and every single one is packed to the fucking gills. And this one is six issues that probably could have been three or four. And so, by the end of it, I was kind of like...
Honestly, that's pretty much every...
It is, every but it doesn't... It's not a pass. And it's... And sometimes you could decompress it and still make it fulfilling, but a lot of these issues... Like, it's honestly, at one point, I, like, had to get up from my desk because I was just like... It was boring. Because not much happens with Ultron until the third or fourth issue, when Sentry finally throws down Ultron. And, yeah, it's Frank Cho drawn, so there's an epic amount of cheesecake. Like, every woman's got the sexy poses, and Ultron's walking around naked the whole time, basically. And it's I don't know, I was trying to read it, I was like, this isn't that good. I really was like, this is not good. And Stark sits out, like, the whole thing. Miss Marvel's the leader of the team, and she basically doubts herself the whole book. She's like, oh my god, what would Cap do? Oh my god, what would this guy do? Oh my god, what would this do? Oh my god, I'm letting this happen. Oh my god, I'll let Tony Stark die. Like, the whole book, she's just like, oh my god, I'm so terrible at this. And I was like, fuck, Bendis. You couldn't be a little bit more subtle with that? Like,
right.
Of course, the female leader of the team is the one who literally is like, I'm terrible at this. Even though she's been an established hero for, like, 30 years.
Yeah.
And she's, like, I mean, she's military, too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she probably know her.
So, yes, Ultron Unlimited, for me, is still the bar when it comes to Ultron. Ultron Unlimited is pretty badass, and this just kind of left me alone and bored. So,
well, like you said last time we recorded, you say you did the best first.
I did.
And then...
I apparently did. I'm going to try to... I may go back and read some more Ultron stuff even after the movie comes out. Like, I think I might do Bride of Ultron, which is the one where... I think it's Jocasta shows up for the first time. But that one's, like, 11 issues back in the 70s. So it's, like, this crazy arc, and I just want... It's Roy Thomas.
What's actually interesting, there's another...
Jesus.
Awesome. There's another Mighty Avengers arc. I think this one's by Dan Slott. Where Jocasta's in it.
Jocasta,
I can't remember if Ultron's in it, but it's like it's right after Janet has died, so
Hank's
kind of using Janet or
Jocasta is like the Janet sub in.
Which is actually there's a really interesting panel where Hank Pym is doing some work on Jocasta, but the way it's staged, it really looks like he's just drilling her. Because she's, like, on a table, her legs are, like, up and, like, spread open.
And they did that on purpose,
like,
you know, they did.
So, I mean, like, physically and, you know, figuratively.
Yeah. But, yeah, so if I were going to recommend an Ultron story, the bar is still Ultron Unlimited, Avengers 19-22 by Kurt Busiek and George Perez. But anyway, we're going to talk a little bit more, and this isn't so much about comics, but it's kind of what we're hoping from a certain comic. And that is Secret War. Which is interesting because Convergence is going to be over before, I think, Convergence is like halfway done and Secret War is just going to get started, but Secret Wars is naturally the next big Marvel event that is coming next week.
The 5th, so yeah.
Yeah, next week. I don't know, I really don't care. Like, I'm interested, I'm very, I'm like, like, I'm, it's strange how, like, ambivalent I am about it. Like, you know, even though they're announcing that it's, like, this massive end of the Marvel Universe, I still kind of find myself just like, oh, that's cute.
The thing is, it's the lead-up, it's not one, we all know it's not the end of the Marvel Universe.
Of course.
It can't be the fucking end, because they've announced 1.5 million new books spinning out of Secret Wars.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and then it's already kind of said that there's a lot of books that are going on hiatus.
Yeah.
Like Captain America is going on hiatus. Ant-Man's going on hiatus. Avengers going on the hiatus. You know, which basically means instead of the court, those titles we've been getting for the past few years,
we're going to get different books for a few months. Like Age of Apocalypse.
Which is cool. I mean, it's very interesting to take, like, an entire line. I mean, but basically, like you were saying earlier, this is like a Flashpoint type event. Because all these books that we used to know are coming back as different things, you know, like it's basically like Flashpoint Batman or Flashpoint Superman, where it's, you know, different takes on the characters we kind of know. It's like, instead of Thor, we're getting Thors. Instead of Captain America, we're getting...
Hail Hydra?
Hail Hydra, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, so on and so forth. But...
I think it's going to end up being a lot like Convergence. I mean, I think like the main series is, I had Hickman writing, so I mean, it's going to be interesting.
At the very least.
But like, I think a lot of these tie-in series have the chance to kind of be like dark horses, kind of like these end up being a lot of fun with a lot of these books, because I don't like, because with it feels kind of like Flashpoint or Convergence, where your only prerequisite is like it needs to feature X and Y, and then outside that you can do anything you want. Which is why I think some of these Convergence times have been so good, because like with Convergence Superman, it's Superman versus Flashpoint basically, and it's the classic Superman. So like a lot of people, and if it's one thing Dan Jurgens can actually write, it's the classic Superman.
Yeah.
And so you do that with Lee Weeks on art versus these Flashpoint guys, and you've got the story.
Yeah.
And like Flashpoint or Convergence Superman number one is actually really interesting, because Dan Jurgens actually has to do a little bit of Flashpoint homework. Like Batman's not with the team, because even in Flashpoint, Batman's never with the Justice, whatever they call themselves.
Yeah.
Flashpoint Superman knows who Lois is, and so he finds out that Superman, classic Superman's Lois is still alive. And at the end of the issue, he goes and flies to her, and it's like he's like, "Lois, you're alive! Oh my god!" And she's just like, "Holy shit! Who the fuck is this?" And,
I love that. Like, holy shit. Who are
like,
you?
Because, like, the kid Superman, like, you know, kind of sickly-looking Superman, he knows exactly who this is, and this is exactly who he wants to see. Mm-hmm. But Lois has absolutely no idea who he is, so it created this really compelling drama that, like, I want to read the second issue. And so I think with a lot of these Secret War things, like, just hearing the premises at some point, they sounded really interesting. Like, Thor's, you know, they got the frog Thor. Yeah. And they're just Thor solving mysteries.
They're Thor cops. You know, it's like just the Green Lantern Thors.
Yeah, it's like Thors.
Thors. I like it.
The Green Lantern Thors. but it's so I think a lot of those series are going to end up kind of being dark horses. Like, you know, the Savage Land one with Captain America on the dinosaur. Like, how the fuck don't you get excited about that?
Exactly. Yeah.
You hate the good
Captain
things?
Captain America riding Devil Dinosaur. That's
like, fighting.
Soul.
Like, no, first of all, Gladiator Captain America.
Yeah.
Fighting or riding Devil Dinosaur, fighting like the Hulks, like Planet Hulk or whatever. It's like, this is badass.
Like, how do you read that and not think it's awesome? It's like, for me, that's on par with Archie Predator. Well,
yeah.
It's a concept, but I'm just like, this is awesome. How are you not excited about this?
Yeah. Even like what we talked about not too long ago, the secret loves, the secret wars, or whatever that romance anthology is. I actually like. I'm kind of stoked for that, because. Like, not that I'm, you know, jonesing for, like, romance comics, but if it's done well, you know, it's like you've got such a different thing that, you know,
I used to be this big proponent of just, like, superhero books. Like, all I read was fucking superhero books. I never read anything outside that. Because, by and large, DC and Marvel didn't really offer anything outside superhero books, and that was primarily what I was reading. But now some of my favorite books are, like, Sex Criminals and Southern Bastards and these books that don't have superheroes, and they're some of the best books on the stands. You get to the point where, and I mean, I'm always going to read some DC and Marvel stuff simply because I like superheroes, and that's actually the one thing that independent books haven't really, outside Invincible, I think, really nailed. There's not been a great, I think, superhero, long form superhero epic in the independent stuff.
At some point, I feel like we talked about this, but that's the one thing that the independent books can't capture. It's
70 years of history.
70 years of history,
and honestly, it may be something that they don't want to capture, which is fine. They may be like, you know what? They've had the handle on they, and they're well aware that there's part of the reason Spider-Man's so popular is because he's got 50 years of history behind him, and you know, things like that. It's not ridiculous. So It's... So with Secret Wars, I think it's going to be kind of like Convergence that way, in as much as the main series will exist and it will tell its story. But there's so much room to tell other stuff that it ends up... It's like Flashpoint and Convergence are kind of alike, but I felt like Flashpoint was a mediocre main series with a couple of hot points. And then I felt most of the tie-ins were bad. Like, the Batman one is, like, one of the shining exceptions.
Yeah.
I felt like most... Like, there was
that's,
a lot
I
of
think
interesting...
that's definitely the one that sticks out. Like, that's the one
that... That was better than the Flashpoint was. Yeah. Like, I'd read a whole series about those guys. So you end up with... Convergence is kind of different. It's similar in that the main series itself started off really lacking, and it's kind of picking up steam now. But, like, the tie-ins are kind of ended where it's going to be at. And I think Secret Wars would be similar. Just some of these really interesting ideas are just getting a chance to kind of break on through and be fun. Mm-hmm. And,
but see, conversely, what I don't want is for Secret Wars to wrap up and they're like, okay, Captain America's back, Thor is back, Iron Man's back, but hey, guess what? Thor is also continuing, and Hail Hydra is also continuing, and it's just, I just don't, like, what one thing I want out of Secret Wars is for Marvel to kind of condense again. You know, like, eventually, after a few years, you're going to end up with a whole buttload of titles and,
yeah. You
know, stuff like that, which is cool. There's a natural progression there, but it's like, I kind of want, like, I don't really want to see crossovers, which I know is never going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to see storylines going from Guardians of the Galaxy to all-new X-Men to Uncanny X-Men.
So you don't want Black Vortex.
I don't want Black Vortex. You know. Or
90-part crossover.
Go back to, I mean, not Execution or something. There's something that there's basically all the X-Men crossovers of
the late 90s,
Not the late 90s, of like the late 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
It was like Chapter 1 was in X-Men. Chapter 2
like Messiah
was in
Complex.
Yeah, Messiah like Complex. That's the one I'm
looking at. Oh, well, I thought Messiah.
Okay. Loved that.
Messiah Complex is really
good. No, Messiah Complex is good.
Yeah. But that idea,
that kind of,
you have to buy everything.
Like, okay, I'm reading Uncanny X-Men, but there's a storyline that's now going through three or four other titles I'm not reading.
Yeah.
That's what I want to avoid.
Yeah.
But that's what I hope.
That's been happening for decades.
And that's what actually I liked about Messiah Complex, because that was the first time they'd done that since the early 90s with X-Men.
Like, they had did a bunch of those in the late 90s when Lobdell and Vizia and all them were doing it. Okay.
Well, maybe since you were reading it.
But no, there was a big break where they didn't do
that.
There
was a really big break.
Well, it's like, companies got rid of, like, the line-wide crossovers.
Yeah, it wasn't like a line-wide.
Like, Civil War and Infinite Crisis were really the first big line-wide major crossovers in a while.
Well,
and since then, they never stopped.
Oh, yeah. They found out that people bought them. So.
Since then, they started doing them once a year, and now they're doing them twice a year. And
yeah.
I mean, next thing you know, three, four times a year.
DC has still kept theirs mostly condensed since the New 52. They've only had two line-wide events.
What?
Forever Evil and now Convergence.
Yeah.
Marvel, unfortunately, does a motherfucking
has had.
They have one starting before something. Like, it'll end one month, and the next month starts the next one.
Well, yeah, I mean, technically, Inhumans was supposed to be sort of like little event that didn't pan out.
Never really came together. I think Secret Wars, I think it's really kind of too early to tell, but I'm not a huge Marvel reader at this point, but I really, what I want is, like, I kind of would like the Convergence aspect where the tie-ins are kind of their own little standalone fun stories, because not everything needs to tie back into the bigger picture, quote unquote.
Well,
so.
I mean, it's like we said, there's 40 something books coming out of this, maybe 50 now.
Yeah.
And out of those 50 or so, there's maybe 10 that are really like, I want to read that.
Like, as far as Convergence goes, I've only read Superman and Swamp Thing. I've read nothing else. I've heard good things.
I read The Question, I read Batman and Robin. I read Suicide Squad.
Who's writing that? Frank Terry.
Frank Terry.
Damn, I was hoping it'd be John Ostrander.
Yeah. Oh, that would be awesome.
If it were Ostrander, I would have bought the shit out of it.
I also read the Parallax one.
Oh, yeah. I heard that one was pretty good.
Yeah, it was.
Wow. So,
but every one that I've read so far, I've actually enjoyed. You know?
So we'll see. But
I'm
anyway.
I'm not saying they can't do enjoyable things. It's just like, I don't know. You get, I don't quite want to call it event fatigue, but it's some sort of fatigue.
Yeah.
Where it's like you just see all these books all these things, and it's like there's part of me where it's like I want to read everything, but then it's like
I got over that a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, I've learned to tell that part of me to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, but still, it's there.
I feel you, but we'll see. Anyway.
Usually wins the argument.
It does, with you especially.
We know. Here's my pick of the week. Here's 10 books.
All right, so for our picks of the week here, we're all going to pick a book. We're going to pick a book that we're all going to collectively read. And this week for us, that is absolutely Batman 40.
Yes.
Yep. Is the conclusion.
Fucking
of,
finally.
Yeah, it's been like, we didn't get it in March, so the last issue was February.
A month.
No way. No, it has come down.
Just calm down.
Jesus Christ, guys, are you four? Answer is yes. But no, so the big end games, the big conclusion of Endgame, the oversized conclusion of Endgame by Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo. This has been a crazy, crazy Batman story. It has seen Batman kind of forced to team up with some of his enemies to try to deal with this looming Joker threat, including going to the Court of Owls and kind of wondering, is the Joker some sort of immortal being that has kind of always existed, and which would... we talked about it a lot in pretty in-depth a couple of weeks ago about what that means for the Batman-Joker relationship. But it definitely... So I'm interested to see what they do with it. A lot of people are expecting another cop-out finish where they kind of... And the thing is the Joker... There's never going to be a Joker story where he dies at the end. You can't do that. So we'll see, but
or
I mean,
you can, but he'll come back.
And we already have some spoilers for what's going to be happening with Batman post Endgame. So I'm a little curious as to how that's all going to dovetail together. So for us, it's definitely Batman 40.
Yep. Yes. So yeah,
mainly
like
because
said,
they have that badass fucking movie variant that's got the Joker as the mask, and it looks nice.
Yeah. But so what we're gonna do is we're all gonna read it. We're all gonna be able to discuss it. So if you guys have any questions. Or just comments or anything, any thoughts on the book, go ahead and email us,
gotitscomics
@gmail.com.
We're going to talk about it, and that might even be our topic next week, is Batman 40.
Yeah.
Maybe just the Endgame arc as a whole.
And this is something I think we want to kind of do moving forward, like pick a book that we all read that we can discuss, and kind of almost like a weekly book club, you know, where
round
we all read at least one thing and talk about it.
And we'll have... We're going to run through a list of suggestions of other really good books that we recommend that you buy, but we're not going to talk about those books.
Maybe a quick little blurb, but that's it.
Maybe a quick little one, you know, but I'm just going to... It'll be more of a suggestion.
Like, I'm just going to go into this. My picks are New Avengers 33 and Avengers 44, which wraps up Time Runs Out and basically is going to lead us into Secret Wars in a week. So we're going to touch on that. At least I'm going to touch on that. And then my third pick is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 45, which is the Fallout issue of Donatello's non-death.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see.
And my other books are going to be the other two big DC books, Superman 40 and Justice League 40. Superman 40 is kind of John Romita Jr.'s solo issue where he's going to dovetail into his arc with... Jean Lun Yang will begin in June. We already have some spoilers for that one too, based off the Free Comic Book Day issue. We'll talk about that now.
Yay.
Well, it's the story in there. It already leaked out, so it's whatever. And Justice League 40 is the prelude to Darkseid War. A bunch of guest artists, so it's pretty cool. And the other ones are going to be Multiversity 2, the final big conclusion to Multiversity, finally, after half a decade of waiting for this book, it's finally here. And then Convergence 4. And we'll see how Convergence is chugging along. It's enough with Convergence to keep me interested, but those are my other four big picks.
Cool.
So, Dusty, what do you got?
I'm just going to give you guys, this is my suggestions of books that you should all be reading. This list includes Bitch Planet number 4, Hellbreak number 2, Invincible number 119, Moon Knight number 14, and then Morning Glories number 45, Outcast number 8, Castaways, number 2, Rumble, number 5, Spread, number 7, and Vertigo Quarterly, SFX, number 1. They did, there are four separate issues, the CMYK, of what they did. And for the colors, now they're doing sound effects. But yeah, it's really cool. All these are really, really good comics. I highly suggest you pick them up.
Cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that's going to wrap it up for us this week. We're going to be working and fine-tuning this format over the next couple of weeks, but we want to talk. We want to get more opinions and more straight-up comics in the mix. So
yeah.
It'll be coming. We'll be working on it in the weeks coming forward.
Less rumor, less speculation.
More
hard-hitting facts.
More comics.
Exactly.
So that's going to wrap it up for us this week. Again, do not forget to check out our Facebook. We're the... Oh, I'm getting there. Shit.
My bad.
Calm your tits. No. but it's but check out our Facebook. There's going to be the coupon code there for the Comicpalooza tickets is there. Please don't forget about our Comicpalooza contest. Just email us, godhatescomics@gmail.com, to get yourself entered for a chance at a four-pack of tickets. We'll be announcing that winner, hopefully, on next week's show. Barring we have some contestants. And we'll have plenty more from Comicpalooza coming to you guys soon. And as always, don't forget to check us out. Facebook.com/GodHatesComics. Twitter.com/GodHatesComics. And you can check out all of our past episodes on SpaceCityNerd.podbean.com. Well, yeah, thanks again for joining us, guys. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, folks.
And a big thanks again to Isaiah for joining us.
Yes, we love you, Isaiah.
So much.
Bye.